Let us pray together. Our dear and beloved Heavenly Father, we do bless you for the immense privilege of being together in your most holy presence. As we prepare to hear your word, as we are expecting again a word from you today, we pray for your servant, Gordon, who will talk about mission, about the life of Sarah Judson. As we listen to this wonderful ministry, O Lord, cause us to have this strong desire to be as zealous as she was. Cause us to be hungry for the furtherance of your kingdom. Renew our vision and enthusiasm. We need so much to have a refreshed vision for mission, to develop a missionary culture, so to speak. So, Lord, we are in expectation before you. Help your servant today. Give him your grace, your blessing, your anointing, as well as our heart as we are going to listen to him. Thanks again for this privilege. And Lord, our heart is certainly bowing down before you, asking to bless those who are already on the mission field. And every one of your work, of course, is a mission field. So cause us to be faithful and perseverance in what we are asked to do for your glory in your name. Amen.
I want to thank Grace Baptist Church and its leadership for the privilege of ministering to you today and relating the life of Sarah Hall Boardman Judson. I think I need to give a little bit of background because I don't want to assume that everybody knows who Sarah is or the context in which she lived. She was the second wife of Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson was one of the first missionaries to go from the shores of the United States to minister the Word of God to a foreign country. He left with his wife, Ann Hazeltine Judson, and they ministered in Burma. Ann Hazeltine was a heroic woman, and she basically saved Adoniram Judson's life when he was put in prison during a war, and he was treated very cruelly. She ministered to him, and part of the reason for her early demise was because of her giving herself to her husband during that time. So that's the background, a preliminary introduction before my introduction, so that you know who we're talking about. We're talking about now in the 1800s. The reason that I wanted to study Sarah Boardman was as a result of reading the biography of Adoniram to the Golden Shore by Courtney Anderson. And of course he deals with Sarah, but she just sort of parachuted in to his life. And I thought, I know there's more about Sarah than what I read in Courtney Anderson. I know that she had a life before she married Adoniram. I knew that she was married to a man by the name of George Boardman. And I thought at the time, I want to find out more about this woman. I had, I believe it was in this setting, given a biographical sketch of Adoniram and also a biographical sketch of Ann Hazeltine. And so when I was asked to give a couple biographical sketches and suggested that I include a woman in that, I thought this is my opportunity to delve a little bit deeper into Sarah Boardman Judson's life. And so I have done that. Adoniram had was concerned that his second wife, Sarah, not be put in the shadows because he knew of the brilliant career and the enormous popularity that Anne had in the United States because of how she served him when he was in prison. And so he commissioned a biography. The biography was written by Emily Chubbuck. Her pen name was Fanny Forrester, and Fanny Forrester happened to be the third wife of Adoniram Judson. And so Fanny did write this biography, which is written in typical 19th century style, and one has to sort of fill in the blanks. At least I do. I'm not a great fan of some of the early 19th century prose, but it is nonetheless an excellent biography. And most of the material that I have here is from that biography, as well as from another book by Stewart called The Lives of the Three Mrs. Judsons. I'm going to be using four adjectives to describe her life. Rather than just give a chronological view of her life, I decided that I wanted to use these adjectives because I think they will be most instructive for us as followers of Christ, and they're adjectives that really do describe her. And they are adjectives that should be characteristic of all of our lives as believers in Christ. The first adjective that I want to use is the adjective humble, having a low estimate of oneself. That was true of Sarah. Second adjective is indefatigable, determined, tireless, tenacious, single-minded, industrious, resolute, and persistent. And I think as I use some of the illustrations from her life that you'll see that adequately describes her. The third adjective, courageous, heroic, unafraid, fearless, valiant, unflinching, unafraid, gutsy. And she was a gutsy woman, as you will see. And the fourth adjective is loving. She was a very loving person. What I want to do is, first of all, give just a brief biographical sketch of her life and overview of her life, and then talk just a little bit about her place in history, and then we'll delve into these four adjectives which I've mentioned. Sarah Hall was born on November 11th, 1803, in New Hampshire. She was the eldest child of Ralph and Abiah Hall. Her family moved and lived in Massachusetts, and she lived there until she married George Boardman on July 4th, 1825. She and her new husband, George, then left the same month, actually a day after their marriage, to serve as missionaries in Burma. She had three children by George. George, named after his father, she called him Georgie, survived from this marriage. The other two children died. Her husband, George, died while serving the Karen people in Burma on February 11, 1831. She remained in Burma and continued to serve the Lord among the Karen people until a replacement for her deceased husband arrived, and then she married Adoniram Judson on April 10, 1834. She lived with Adoniram at Moulmein, and that's also in Burma, and became the mother of eight of his children. Six of those children survived her. Two preceded her in death. During her time in Burma, she struggled with chronic dysentery, and it led eventually to her death. It was determined toward the end of her life that she needed to return to the United States to save her life. So Adoniram and three of their children began that journey. Three were left in the hands of trusted Burmese friends. But however, on the journey, she died and was buried on the island of St. Helena on September 1, 1845. What about Sarah's place in history? Well, Sarah's place in history is well earned as a pioneer missionary wife, hymn writer, teacher of women, founder of schools for children who were considered outcasts by the general Burmese population, translator, loving mother, and winner of many souls to Christ. Her biography said that if she had done nothing but simply translate Pilgrim's Progress into Burmese, that in itself would earn her a place in history. But in addition to that, she translated material into the Paguan language for the Karen people of Burma and also wrote Bible lessons and questions for the ladies of Burma. Because she was married to Adoniram Judson, her place in history in one sense was secured. However, it was not the name Judson that secures her a place in history, but rather her own godliness and service to Christ that gives reason for the careful study of this remarkable woman. Well, let's consider first of all then the first adjective, which is humble. Now, Sarah Boardman was a naturally retiring person. And I know it's possible for us to think if someone is retiring that therefore they are humble. And that's not necessarily so, of course. But with Sarah, grace took that retiring spirit and honed it into a true godly humility. But we see that God was working in her life even before she became a believer at about 16 or 17 years of age. And later in this sketch, I'll be telling you a little bit of her conversion. But we see the work of God in her heart and in her very personality that that led to this humility that characterized her. In this way, she was following what the scriptures tell us in 1 Peter 5 and 6. Clothe yourselves with humility, all of you with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Well, Sarah was the oldest of 13 children, and as a result, she was pressed into service with helping the other children. She was described as a beautiful girl with faultless features, blue eyes, soft brown hair in the shadows, and gold in the sun. She had a strong desire to learn, but she wasn't able to fulfill that desire by having a lot of formal education, which she would very much like to have had. She submitted willingly to the need for her to stay at home and to help with the other children. But she didn't use that as an excuse or pout and say, well, therefore I can't improve myself. Much the opposite. She loved to study, and study she did. She also loved poetry, and she began to write poetry, even at a very young age, even the age of 12. In fact, her biography, Fanny Forrester, says that she thinks that if she could have had training in this literary field of poetry, that she could have become a very famous and poet. But that was not her privilege. She did not complain. All testimony indicates about her lot in life. At age 17, she thought she had a little more leisure, I suppose, because some of the children were a little older. But she said she had finished Butler's Analogy, was studying Paley's Evidences, Campbell's Philosophy of Rhetoric, Logic, Geometry, as well as at the same time teaching her brothers at home. And she said she had a little more leisure, so now she was getting into Latin. She did write many scripture poems and even had some of them published before she was, shortly after her conversion. This would have been about 17 years of age. And they were used in both the Christian Watchman and the Baptist Magazine. One incident shows her retiring spirit and also the development of humility in her. In 1823, Anne Hazeltine Judson returned to the States due to health reasons. And of course, she was at that time well-known and famous because of her heroic efforts in saving Adoniram's life while he was in prison. Sarah went to hear Anne speak when Anne was in Salem. Sarah at that time had already written a poem that had been published in one of the Baptist magazines. It was a poem about her consecration to Christ and her desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a poem about James Coleman, a missionary who had served in Burma, who went over and died at just a short time after he went there. This poem was known to a young man who was in attendance at that particular meeting, although he did not know Sarah well at this time. That young man's name was George Borman. And as Anne completed her speaking, this young man thrust the poem that Sarah had written into her hand and suggested she read it. Well, Sarah, being of a very retiring spirit, trembled as the poem was thrust into her hand. But she did take it, and she read it with a faltering voice. But then it's reported that her voice became stronger at the end. And when she lifted her eyes up off the paper, she saw Ann Judson's eyes filled with tears. Adoniram testified to her reticence and her humility in his eulogy that he gave to her. He said this: "Her own unobtrusive and retiring disposition always led her to seek the shade, as well as from the fact that she was often brought into comparison with one whose life and character was uncommonly interesting and brilliant." Of course, he's referring to his first wife, Anne. But he went on to say that Sarah was a worthy successor to Anne Hazeltine Judson, and he thanked God that he had been blessed with two of the best wives, and he felt that he had not improved them as he should. Now, Sarah strongly disagreed with that when Adoniram suggested it on his deathbed, telling him to hush, that he had been an excellent husband to her. So Sarah was of a retiring spirit. However, after her many accomplishments, she remained a very humble and meek Christian woman. And she did not promote herself, but in that way she is a Christian example to us all. Well, the second adjective that I want to use to describe Sarah is the adjective indefatigable. We sang just before this sketch, "Take up the cross and follow me." And Sarah was one who truly took up the cross of Jesus Christ and followed him with all her heart. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me." And Sarah did that. She really did that. She persevered in the midst of great difficulties, greater difficulties than many of us can even imagine. While in Maulmain, where they first went, she and George, to Burma, they arrived there, and just a short time after they arrived, thieves came in and took every valuable item and memory that she'd brought from America. This happened when her husband George was in a very deep sleep, or if he had not been in a deep sleep, he would have been murdered. But she saw the whole event. Yet she persevered in the work in spite of this trauma. In fact, after this trauma, in a letter that she wrote to her sister recounting some of the things that had happened on that dark night, she rejoiced that she had women and children to teach about the Lord Jesus. She rejoiced in the fact that there were two baptisms. And what really rejoiced her heart, that was one of the Karen people was baptized. The Karen people were known as thieves and murderers. And so she was thankful that they had been brought to Christ. And this event occurred just shortly after the burial of Adoniram and Anne's daughter Maria, in which she had assisted. So think of this. Here it is, this woman coming to Maulmain, helping bury an infant, and then experiencing this trauma. And what did she do? Well, she remained in Burma and persisted and persevered on. I think most of us would think that if she had reason to return and sort of recover, that it would have been acceptable. But she was indefatigable. She was tireless, single, and determined. And God had called her to be the husband of this missionary, and she remained. Well, after Maulmain, then she and George moved to another town area of Burma called Tavoy. And this is where the Karen people were. And she continued to serve Christ with her husband. She went on trips into the interior. And they had now, after a period of time, they had three children. The one child, Sarah, was a very healthy, strong girl. Georgie, the one who survived, was very weak. Her husband, George, was not of a strong constitution, and Georgie took after his father in that way. But Sarah was strong, and she was healthy. However, this little girl, named after her, died. And she was left only with little Georgie. She grieved deeply over this loss and the losses of these two children. Yet she continued to serve Christ with her husband in Burma amongst the Karen people. While she was in Tavoy, a band of rebels attacked this settlement. There were some 200 servants that were there to help protect, but there were only 200 against some 2,000 rebels. This was under British occupation at the time. The Colonel Burney, was absent, and the small band of Englishmen and the missionaries held up in the government house for several days. Thankfully, Colonel Burney returned and was able to lead the servants to victory just before the British soldiers arrived. However, the damp house brought a consumption to her husband, George, that led to great weakness and then in a number of months led to his death. Yet she continued to persevere there in Burma. During this time, she too became very sick and weak, but she continued to labor with her very sick and weak husband. He lived a while and ministered and witnessed, and she was able to witness the baptism of some 29 Karen people, and then after that, another 54 were baptized. On the trip from the jungle back to Tavoy, Burma, there was a violent storm, and the party refused shelter in a Burmese home. She pled with tears, and finally they consented, but shortly thereafter, her husband George died. After his death, she did contemplate coming back to the United States. Mr. Mason, who is to be George's replacement, needed more time in language training. And so she determined to stay and visit the Burma people. During this time, after her husband's death, she organized women's prayer meetings and Bible studies. She, when required, spoke to large groups through an interpreter. She knew, as she said, that this was irregular, but the people needed her. By December 1831, just months after her husband's death, the church had 110 members. The Karen people would travel some 40 to 50 miles on foot to hear a sermon. She started schools and used what she called an intelligent Tavoy Burman woman as a teacher. She had 5-day schools, a boarding school, and ended with 170 under her construction. All of this was maintained after her husband's death. She found out after these schools had been established that they were not allowed by the government if they taught the Christian religion. Undaunted, she wrote a letter to the government officials stating her case and telling them that she was unaware of the law and that she would close the schools to abide by the law. The commissioner responded by saying that he would honor her request, but that he was proud of what she was doing and would see to it that the government from that point on would conduct schools on the plan of Mrs. Boardman. Another incident shows her resoluteness and single-mindedness. There's a story of a British officer, Captain F., who was on a hunting expedition. He left early one morning, and it was just at the beginning, just prior to the rainy season, but suddenly a heavy shower came up on them. He was drenched, and he, along with his companions, took shelter in a zayat. Now, a zayat is like we would call it a hut. Sometimes they were built for protection. Sometimes they were built as a place where teaching for the Burman religion could go on. So he took some shelter there. He was grumbling about his misfortune. Here he was drenched, all wet, and he was discomforted, and he didn't have enough food for a good breakfast. Well, while in this mood, there appeared, in his words, a fair smiling face, along with some Karen followers. Both were surprised to see each other, and he thought, oh, I should probably give up this shelter to this woman. But before he could think very much, she disappeared. And she went down below into a lean-to, and then she reappeared with dry clothes and food that she said she would share with him for breakfast. See, she was very used to travel in the wild jungle and with her little Georgie. In a sense, she became a legend among the Karen people due to her determined efforts to reach these neglected and despised people with the gospel. Well, then after she married Adoniram, a need was put before her to translate tracts into the Paguan language, the tongue of a very despised group, because about 100 years early, the Paguan people had cruelly conquered and brought into submission the Burman people. And the Burmese wrested control back from these Paguans, but for a long time they outlawed their language. They wouldn't even allow them to speak the Paguan language. They had to speak it in secret. Although by Sarah's time the language could again be spoken, there were no scriptures and no religious material at all for them. Sarah saw the need, and with the encouragement of Adoniram, she set out to learn this language and began to translate tracts and the New Testament into Paguan. These efforts were unprecedented, and she continued that work as she was able while bearing children until someone more qualified was able to take it over. And in accord with her humble character, she willingly gave the work to someone who she felt would better be able to accomplish that goal. So I say that Indefatigable really does adequately and accurately describe Sarah Hall Boardman Judson. She took up the cross and she followed Christ. Now the third adjective that I want to use is the adjective courageous. Now in a sense, indefatigable and courageous are two sides of the same coin. I suppose I could use illustrations from her life that would fit under either category. But I wanted to use this adjective because to cement in our minds the courage which God gave this woman. I can't explain Sarah Hall Boardman Judson except for the grace of God, except for what God worked in her life and the very courage which he instilled in her to be able to continue as she did there in Burma. I've told you about the thieves that broke in at Maulmain just shortly after she arrived in Burma. And it's hard for me to imagine how terrifying an experience this would be. These men, these wicked men, actually held a knife to her husband's throat, and they were ready to kill the little child. She maintained her composure. In God's kindness, her husband, in the deep sleep, did not awake. For if he had awakened, they would have killed him. But she observed this incident, and her courage in watching this and remaining in Burma impresses us. But even more, what impresses us is the grace that God gave her to be able to look at that incident and say, this was part of God's good providence, and to accept this as what God had for her at that time. And again, I say, would not this trauma in and of itself been a warrant to return to the homeland? Would not we understand the fear it produced and allow her time to recover? Shortly after this incident, there were guards placed around their house, and there was a wild beast that made a move toward the house. The beast was scared away. However, the presence of such wild beasts was a constant threat to those who were in Burma. Yet the Lord gave her the grace of courage, and she remained to serve in Burma. I wonder if she took encouragement from the words that the Lord spoke to Joshua when he said to Joshua, be strong and courageous, in 1:5, and then in 1:7 said, only be strong and courageous. And God gave her that grace of courage. I've told you about the revolt in Tavoy, but there's a couple of details that I left out on purpose because I wanted to put them under this adjective of her courage. While fleeing from her home to the government house to find refuge, she had to climb over dead bodies. While going to the government house, there were bullets flying all around her. While in this house, she was in constant danger for 5 days. Yet when the deliverance came, there was no thought of giving up the work. I say this takes courage that only the Lord can give. She was a woman who lived for the glory of God. Courage is also illustrated in her determination and her decision to remain in Burma after her husband George died. Again, she easily could have gone back to America. And one of the reasons that she didn't, evidently, at least we have to put this into the mix, was that she did receive a letter from Adoniram Judson at that time, consoling her at the death of her husband and encouraging her to remain. And she did remain. She briefly considered going back to the States, but her resolute decision was to remain in Burma. And she did not just remain, but she continued the work of ministering to these Karen people. This meant frequent trips into the wild jungle with her little Georgie. She persisted in this kind of life until the replacement for her husband came to Tavoy. There's still one question that needs to be answered, and that is, what motivation was it that led Sarah Hall Boardman Judson to live this kind of life and to give herself to Christ as she did? Now, we know it was the grace of God, but the grace of God worked in her life in such a wonderful way that she loved the Lord her God with all her heart and mind and soul and strength, and she loved her neighbor as herself. Her love for God, her love for Christ, was at the root of all that she did. She was a loving woman. First and foremost, she loved the Lord Jesus Christ, his kingdom, and his work. Secondly, she loved her neighbor, including her family, her husbands, her children, and the heathen. Everything about Sarah showed that her primary love was for God, and this spilled over into her human relationships. Her conversion to Christ was the fountain of this love. Now, she had had desires for missionary service even from a very early age, but it was not until about the year 1820 that she came to know Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord. So it was at about the age of 16 or 17, under the preaching of her pastor, Mr. Cornelius, that she found hope in Christ. She testifies that her struggles of mind were so fearful as she sank under the weight of her own sin, that she sunk almost to the verge of despair. But by grace, she was able to consecrate herself to the service of Christ. Soon after she came to Christ, she united herself with the First Baptist Church in Salem. Her brother gave this testimony about her. Shortly after her conversion, she observed the destitute condition of the children in the neighborhood in which she resided. With the assistance of some young friends as teachers, she organized and continued through the favorable portions of the year a Sunday school of which she assumed the responsibility of superintendent. She wrote to a friend at this time, at 17 years of age, that she wanted the gospel to conquer until every knee bowed before Jesus Christ. It was this love for the lost that prompted her to be deeply affected by the death of James Coleman, a missionary to Burma who served but a short time with Adoniram Judson. She came home after a church meeting and announced to her mother with joy that a young man by the name of Boardman had given himself to replace Coleman. She had not yet met George Boardman. Her mother was not quite as excited as she was, for her mother thought, "I'm afraid it's just this kind of young man that might seek out my daughter," because she had already published the poem about the death of Coleman. Well, George Boardman had read that poem, and he was determined to meet its author, and he did meet the author. They were of a kindred spirit, and 2 years after he met Sarah, they were married, and a day after they were married, on the ship to Burma to serve Christ together. She loved George, because he loved Christ and because he loved missions and because he too wanted to see every knee bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. In giving herself to George, she had first given herself to her Savior. Her love to Christ was so strong that she determined to serve with George, even though for a time her father and mother would not approve of the marriage. They had nothing against George, but rather they could not bear the thought of giving up their daughter. However, they relented and so approved of God's calling on their daughter's life. She loved her children and grieved deeply when some were taken away. As I said, she bore 11 children. 3 were born to George Borman and 8 to Adoniram Judson. Only one child to George survived, little Georgie. She'd lost an infant boy at 8 months. Then her darling Sarah, who appeared so healthy, was taken away rather suddenly. And after reflecting on Sarah's death, she realized in her own mind, she believed that she had idolized this little girl and found in it a lesson to place her love completely on the Lord Jesus Christ. She determined to do so, and though the sorrow was great, she found solace in her Savior. Only 6 of the 8 children born to Adoniram survived her. 1 was stillborn, and the other she and Adoniram buried in Burma with great sorrow. She loved each of her husbands. The affection expressed in letters shows not only respect, but a deep love for each of them. But above the love for each husband was an evident love for Christ. There was a true union of purpose in reaching the heathen for Christ. She truly shared the same burden and vision of these 2 husbands. When George Boardman, though quite sick, determined to visit the Karen people one last time, she was afraid that it would lead to his immediate death. But she willingly gave him up for the journey to do that. He did return, but then he said, I have to return again because there's going to be some baptisms. She accompanied him and assisted him in the journey as she was able. And it was on that second journey that that storm came up, and they were able to get back to their home in Tavoy before he died. But it was the love for Christ and love expressed in submission to George's desire that prompted the sacrifice. She loved Adoniram. At one point, she said that his character was a complete assemblage of all that a woman could wish to love and honor. Another evidence of her love to God and her family is demonstrated in sending her son Georgie to America. She and Adoniram knew that to keep Georgie in Burma would shorten his life. Remember, I told you that he was a very weak and sickly boy. And the heat in Burma and the climate in Burma was not given for us Caucasians to live very long in that kind of climate in those days. And so the necessary decision was made to send Georgie to America, where he could be raised and hopefully have a long life. We might question the decision, but given the climate and the certainty of a shortened life, it was made out of a love to God and for little Georgie. So when Georgie was 6 or 7 years of age, he was put on a ship with missionaries and special care to come to America. Sarah specified the kind of home he was to be in, and also that the guardians must write weekly about Georgie's progress and give her that record. She wrote regularly to little Georgie, instructing him about sin and about Christ. On one occasion, she reminded Georgie how he had tried to deceive them by kneeling in prayer just before they said the amen. She reminded him of that sin and the need to confess it and the need to be truthful. She loved God and her son. When Sarah was dying, Adoniram, at the doctor's advice, determined to take her on a sea voyage back to America. After the voyage began, Sarah improved to the point that it appeared that she would recover. She would not. She would not, therefore, have Adoniram give up his missionary work, but she urged him to return to Burma with the hope that she would join him in a few short years. On that occasion, that is, when it looked like she was going to recover, she wrote one of the most moving poems, if not the best efforts, of her literary life. I intend to read that at the conclusion of this sketch. However, before I do, you need to know that she quickly declined in health, and so Adoniram did not return to Burma, but remained with Sarah. The ship was able to anchor in St. Helena, and there on September 1, 1845, she went to see her Savior, whom she loved above all. Adoniram was with her through the lonely night, and she expressed her love for her husband, and with a calmness passed into eternity. And here is that poem. I don't read the poem because of its great literary value. I am no literary critic. It may be of the finest literary value. I wouldn't know, but I like the poem. I read it because it expresses the soul of Sarah Hall Boardman Judson and expresses the love which she had for her husband, as well as the evident love that she had for her Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. So she wrote this to Adoniram just days before her death. She says to Adoniram, "We part on this green islet, love, thou for the eastern main, I for the setting sun, love. Oh, when to meet again? My heart is sad for thee, love, for lone thy way will be, and oft thy tears will fall, love, for thy children and for me. The music of thy daughter's voice thou'lt miss for many a year, and the merry shout of thine elder boys thou'lt list in vain to hear. When we knelt to see our Henry die, and heard his last faint moan, each wiped the tear from other's eye. Now, each must weep alone. My tears fall fast for thee, love. How can I say farewell, but go? Thy God be with thee, love, thy heart's deep grief to quell. Yet my spirit clings to thine, love, thy soul remains with me, and oft will hold communion sweet o'er the dark and distant sea. And who can paint our mutual joy when all our wanderings o'er, we both shall clasp our infants three at home on Burma's shore? But higher shall our raptures glow on yon celestial plain, when loved and parted here below meet ne'er to part again. Then gird thine armor on, love, nor faint thou by the way, till Buddha shall fall and Burma's sons shall own Messiah's sway." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your power and your grace that was evident in Sarah Hall Boardman Judson's life. We know it is of you, and to you belongs all the glory for what you did through this woman. We pray that you'd help us to follow Christ as she followed Christ. And we pray that you would give us the same heart for missions which Sarah had. And it is our prayer to you that even as she said in this poem, that someday all would own Messiah's sway. May thousands and countless thousands upon thousands come to bow the knee to Jesus and believe on our Savior, the one whom we love. But we confess our sin that we do not love him as we ought. Grant us grace that we may love him more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.